Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, A New Covenant, Hebrews 8, already in progress.
They said, we need prayer for this little girl. She's pregnant. I said, okay, does she go to church? Yes, she does. She goes to a certain church in a certain area, in a certain city, wasn't around here anywhere close. And I said, well, what about the boy? I mean, you know, I said, how old is he? Oh, she's only like 24 or 5 or something. And she's pregnant. She's going to have a hard time. This is her first baby and so on. I said, well, she married? They said, no, she's not married. I said, well, you know, if she goes to church, the pastor ought to be teaching them that they're not supposed to have sex out of wedlock. And said, well, the pastor is married and has 4 children, but he's the father of this child. You want to know why there ain't no power in our churches? A 24-year-old girl. And this woman said, I know this girl told me about this, but said, I'm hesitant to tell anybody because said, if the word gets out and he's the been sleeping with this 24-year-old girl committing adultery, said he's got 4 children, and he's like 40, and his children are way on up there, and said it's going to bust the marriage wide open, going to break the heart of all the kids, and going to cause a divorce between him and his wife. I thought to myself, how do you pray in a situation like that? What do you do? I mean, here I am saying the pastor ought to be teaching the people what the Word says, and he's the one that's committing the adultery. Isn't that amazing? That just blows me away. You know, that, did God say, you shall not commit adultery? He didn't stutter when he said that, did he? What in the, do what?
He also meant, thou shalt not lust.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, Pamela, one of the young men that I prayed for a couple of years ago that was down in his back, that was his sin. Not committing the act, but he looked at pretty girls and he went from here to here and he got to thinking about how wonderful it would be to have sex with these girls, and that put him down on his sick bed with his back, and he was down where he could not walk. And when I got him to repent of that sin and I prayed the prayer of faith for him, God instantly healed that young man. Instantly healed him. And a year and a half later, a friend of his that he works for called me and told me, he said, the boy's still doing good. He hadn't had any problems at all since you prayed for him that day. Well, see, I told him, stop sinning. I mean, sin has a consequence, doesn't it, Gina? I mean, it has a consequence. I don't care who you are, what you are. If you play in the devil's world, you're going to suffer stealing, killing, and destroying. It's just the way it is. Sometimes you really get to see it. Then he says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Now then, a lot of people steal that don't realize they're stealing. You know, I mean, people in the workforce out there today, I know I work for LSG SkyShift here at DFW Airport. Of course, I worked for a food operation for 29 years as an engineer. The last 7 of them was right here at DFW Airport for SkyShift. And whenever the 9/11 attack came and we were required to put guards at every door and check everything and frisk everybody coming in and going out, our food cost went down about $30,000 to $40,000 a month. That's what people were stealing and carrying out of the place that we didn't know about. Isn't that amazing? You know, we'd heard people say, well, you know, Susie or Jane or Bob or what, last night was a big sack of stuff going out to the parking lot. I bet that was groceries. Nah, well, they wouldn't steal anything. The lights are on and all that stuff. You know, nobody would surely do that. But it wasn't just one or two of them. When we put those guards at the gates and you could not get in or out of that plant except you went through this little narrow door and a guard had to frisk you, our food costs went down. In fact, we had a woman one night that after they know they're going to be frisked, I mean, they have to take their coats off and they look at them. They look at their clothes. If you're a man, you got to take everything in your pockets. If you're a woman, you got britches on, you take everything out. If you got a dress on, they look at you. They don't feel of you unless they think something's wrong. Well, one night there was a woman that the guard was on duty that morning when she came in, and the same guard was still the other night when she left. And he looked at her and he thought, you know, this woman's gained a lot of weight today. There's something wrong. See, normally they change guards, see. But he said, something's wrong here. He said, now, I can't frisk her as a man. But he called one of the managers that was the one and said, would you come out here and frisk this woman? And she had 36 miniature bottles of liquor in her underwear. 36. She had been there 15 years and she got fired that night, lost her job. For 36 dinky little bottles of alcohol. Isn't that amazing? Just think. God says, you shall not steal. And even when you put guards at the gate and then know you're going to be frisked, some people still try to steal. Let me tell you, you don't never get by with nothing on this earth. When you steal something, God knows and the devil knows, and you don't get by with nothing. There may have been nobody in the world down the street when you walked in the store and got something, and you walked out and you think, I got by with that, nobody will ever know. But I guarantee God knows and the devil knows. And if you don't repent, you will stand judgment for that one day. But whatever it was, don't steal something. Don't take anything. The Lord says. Then he says, in verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You're never to tell a lie about your neighbor. Well, lots of people do that. Then he says in verse 17, you shall not covet or desire your neighbor's house. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass. Now that, it's a donkey, and nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Yours says donkey, right? Yeah, some of the King James doesn't. I mean, that's what they used to call a donkey, was an ass. But that's what they are called. But, you know, the term today, to me, is a lot better when they turn, you know, say donkey. I'd rather say donkey. But that's what's written, it's in King James. But you're not supposed to covet any of these things. None of them. And all the people saw the thunderings. Now, I can only imagine this scene when God gave them this commandments that day. And the people saw all the thunderings and the lightnings. I mean, you know, when you're outside and a little storm comes up and just a great big clap of thunder, boom, and a bay, or you see a great big lightning strike over there, and just say it's within a couple of hundred yards of you. And I've been places where lightning hit within, in fact, I've had lightning hit within 10 feet of me. That was the most awesome thing. One night, I'd been out leading people to Jesus, getting people healed and all kinds of stuff, and I come home and went to bed. And there was a cloud came up, and when that cloud came up, that thing, there was a lightning bolt, and I mean it, I heard that lightning bolt crash! And the lightning bolt hit, and then I immediately heard the clap of thunder that come right with it at the same time, which meant they were very close together. And I thought, man, and it lit up everything inside my house and everything. I thought, wow, was that close? Well, I went ahead and rebuked the devil and commanded him to stop that nonsense. And I went to bed and slept that night. And the next morning I got up and walked outside and I looked up and the top 2 feet of the chimney on my house was gone. Bricks were scattered all over the place. So, a few weeks later, when I had time, it was one day, it was about noon, 10 o'clock in the morning, I guess it was when I got started. I got out there and put my ladder up on that second story, and I carried 5 gallon buckets of bricks up there and carried them up there and stacked them up above the fireplace. And then I carried a half of a 5 gallon bucket of mortar at a time up there. And I got up and dumped my trowel, and by about 4 or 5 o'clock that afternoon, I had finished putting about 200 or 300 brick back in that fireplace. I got it all fixed and the cap done and everything, And then I come down inside and went out and worked on my truck till about 9 o'clock that night. And then I come in and turned the news on after I took a shower. And it said, by the way, now this has only been about 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever. Well, let's see. Yeah, maybe 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Anyway, when I turned the news on, it said, in the news said, by the way, in the Dallas area today, the temperature was 104 degrees today. And so if you were elderly, it would, you better have been inside under the air conditioning or you could have a possible heat stroke. I thought, boy, am I glad I'm a man of faith and I'm glad I'm not elderly. I'm on the roof putting on brick, carrying him up and down that step at 104 degrees temperature, right in the heat of the day.
154 degrees sun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, if you don't know, in other words, if you're a child of God, I am totally, completely convinced, if you are an obedient child of God, doing what He says, there ain't nothing the devil can do can take you out.
Amen.
Nothing. There ain't nothing can take you out until God's ready for you to go. You know, so, but if you get to thinking, oh, I'm old and I need to be in under the air conditioning or I might have a heat stroke, that devil will say, you want a heat stroke? I'll give it to you. But see, you don't go there. So anyway, I think, wow, thank you, Jesus, for what we can do as sons of God. Then he says, after the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Here I am wanting to hear God's voice, and these people don't want to hear it. I love hearing His voice, but they don't want to hear it. I mean, with the thunders and the lightnings and all that stuff, it must have been pretty impressive. You know, so Moses was up there. God talked to him. It didn't bother him. So I don't know. I love to hear God talk to me. It's awesome to hear the King speak. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, now this was the old covenant. This was the old covenant that we were supposed to keep, but nobody could. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the new covenant, Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and He's going to speak better things than what we just read in the old covenant.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled A New Covenant, Hebrews 8, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.